Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We are actually on our third part of the message. We kind of took a little break in there. We're talking about shalom in the home, or peace in the home. And that kind of, today it merges into peace at work. I was looking this up the other day, according to the Gallup poll from about a year ago. 18% of Americans work 60 plus hours a week. I guess if you have a job, you work a lot. So 18%, almost 20% of Americans work 60 plus hours a week. It has to be more than just farmers. 21% of Americans work 50 to 59 hours a week. So this is quite a large group of Americans that work over the 40-hour work week. 11% of Americans work 41 to 49 hours a week. So this is a good-sized number of Americans that work over 40 hours a week. Approximately 8% of the population works less than 40 hours a week. So I also notice, and just throwing this in there, 30% of fathers with children at home work over 50 hours a week. And the Journal of Marriage and Family from 2010 revealed that the average time a woman spends with her children during the week is 13.7 hours. So out of the whole week, how much time does the mom spend with the child? 13.7 hours. I have a feeling that's driving to and from soccer games, etc. And men, it's about 7.2 hours a week, which I know you're saying, only 7.2 hours in a whole week. Actually, that's up. At one time, it was 2.5 hours a week, so back in the 70s. I don't know if they changed how they do the math on this, but with people spending so much time at work, obviously, more time at work than at home, in waking. You know, at home when you're asleep, I don't know if you can count that time. You're spending more time awake at work than you are at home. Your work relationships, the connectedness you have with other people during the workday, how you treat other people, how they treat you, has a significance. And guess what? The Bible has a lot to say about it, which many people are amazed that the Bible talks about employer-employee relationships and employee-to-employee relationships. Colossians chapter 3 is an example of this. Now, it starts out in verse 22 with the word servants. Servants. The literal term here was doulos, or slave. Now, we don't use the term slave today. In Roman times, there were an estimated 60 million slaves. That's a lot of slaves in the Roman Empire. 60 million slaves. That's just the Roman Empire. That does not include the Asian areas. It doesn't include anything other than North Africa, the rest of Africa. In most of Europe, anywhere that the Romans weren't, which would have been the very northern parts, but 60 million slaves. Aristotle described a slave as a tool with a soul. He even went on to say that when the tool became broken, you discard it. You get rid of it. Slaves had no right, and they often bore the scars of judicial torture. Now, the attitudes of those in the home do affect the home. We don't have slaves as such today. I realize that in certain parts of the world and under certain religious faiths, slavery is still allowed. Slavery is still condoned. Slavery is still encouraged. And yet, the scriptures clearly reveal that slavery should end. Why do I say that? Because when God changes the heart, He changes our systems to reflect His style of dealing with people. You can't treat someone like a slave who's a brother in Christ and not show love, and eventually the whole slave system falls apart, and it did in the United States eventually. Now, the attitude of those in the home, whether it's a domestic helper, whether it's a worker, the attitude in the home and the attitude of an individual at work affects the environment of the workplace. All of you have been in that situation where everything's going great at work, and then in walks so-and-so. Oh, no. You know, they make Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh out to be a happy-go-lucky guy. All of us have run into someone like that. They just seem to have a cloud over them, and they're not happy unless you're under that cloud. Well, as Christianity affects the world, it ought to affect how we treat other people. Notice what happens here. What happens here? Servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. What is the instruction if you're an employee? If you're one of those workers? Because almost every one of us fit into that category one way or the other. We're either a worker or we're the guy supervising workers. So you're one of these two categories, workers or the supervisor. And with this in mind, what should a worker do? The Greek word is hupo, which means under, and akouo, which means to hear. In other words, listen to your boss. Listen to what they have to say. Listen under, be subordinate according to the authority that's over you, to obey or to hearken. It is the duty of the employee to do their job. Pretty simple. To do their job, to listen to the boss, to obey. As undesirable as slavery is, the scriptures did not end it immediately. That took place over time. So God would have the change in people's hearts change the system. Today, let me say it this way. If you're not happy with your present employment, find a different job. Be creative. Don't feel imprisoned in that. Now, the economy is never great. There are times that are better to start a different job. Go back to school if you're not happy with the way things are. Do something. But you are expected to do your very best when you're at work. Obey that authority. I was on a job one time, and it does get frustrating. I was on a job one time, a manual labor job, and my boss said to me, I want you to do it this way. He's the boss. He knew what he was doing. I had no idea. He told me, I want it done this way. All right, whatever you say, boss. And I started doing that. Well, then shows up an inspector who said, oh, no, the plans call for this. The engineer designed it this way. And my boss looked at the plans and said the engineer didn't know what he was doing. Okay, well, the inspector said it must be done this way. So there was a meeting of words. The boss said, you do it this way. And since his name went on the check, that's the way I was doing it. Inspector showed up and said, I won't pass it if you do it that way. So then the owner of the company shows up and he looks at me and he goes in front of the inspector, you have to do it like the inspector says, no questions. Yes, sir. So then the inspector leaves and he goes, do it like the boss said. I ended up going and saying, you know what, while you guys figure this out, there is a whole lot of work on the other side of the building. Let me finish that over there. And I went and worked on something that I knew I could get right. And I was working on that while the three of them sorted it out. And later, the boss showed up. I won. And so we'll do it my way. And I said, how'd you win? He goes, they went home. So we're going to finish it up this way, all right? And I said, all right, you're the boss. You know, there are times it's very difficult to obey, especially when you have three people telling you three separate things. Your job is to do your job to the best of your abilities, without any mouthing back, without any attitude, you know, without kicking things all the way down the hall and screaming and throwing things and telling the boss how stupid they are. Well, I did what they said. That's not your job. Your job is to be the best employee you can. Obey. Now, how are servants to obey? How are workers to obey? For those of you that are in charge of others, you probably understand this very well. For those of you that work for others, I'm sure you have an idea of how you ought to act and how they ought to act as supervisors. By the way, once you move from the one category to the other, it's never as clear as it was when you were telling the boss what to do. It doesn't seem to be as easy. All right, how are you to obey? Let's take a look at this passage because he spells it out. Servants, workers, employees, obey in all things. Obey in all things. Not just the things you like. Obey in all things. Do your job, period. Again, if the boss asks you to do that which goes against the teaching of the Scriptures, you as a Christian are to listen to God. It may cost you your job, but if the boss asks you to do something that's dishonest, unethical, immoral, all right, then that's something that you can't do. If you're an accountant and the boss says, I want you to make it look like we didn't make as much on our taxes, you can't do that. You have to be honest and do your job. I had a friend one time that was an accountant for an entire city. He was the guy that turned in all the government paperwork, and he was told, you have to do it this way. And he said, that's not the law. Here's what it says. I'm just very simple. He did his paperwork. He turned it in, and he said a month later he got a report back, got a call from the government saying, why'd you put this down? Someone had changed all his numbers and put his name on it. He said, I retired. He goes, I was 67, and I didn't need that. I retired rather than get in the middle of it. My friends, we have to obey in all things except what is against the standards of God. Now, let me be very clear on this. Let me help you out with this. There are some things that are in the law that are common sense, and you can't twist it. And we as Christians are really good at that. For example, you're speeding on your way to church. Why else would you be speeding? You're speeding on your way to church, and someone pulls you over with a red light. There's a little Dodge Charger, I think it is, on Route 18 that's looking for people up and down the road. And he pulls you over on your way here to church. You cannot say religious persecution. I'm being persecuted as a Christian. No, you were speeding. You understand sometimes as Christians, I don't want to pick up this, but that's your job. But I don't want to. Well, you're fired. Religious persecution. That's not religious persecution. You just didn't do your job. Now, years ago, they'd say you're fired and it was over with. Now it takes 9 months of proving that you did this and did that, etc. So you are to obey in all things. All things except that which is total and directly against the standards of the Scriptures. So pretty clear, under normal circumstances, you are to obey your supervisor, your boss. And notice the second part. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. Not with eye service. It uses the term ophthalmology in here for this Greek word, and it means, eye service means simply this. You only work when you think the boss is watching. You only work when you, oh, the boss is here, I gotta, you know, act like I'm working. Oh, the boss went around the corner. I was on a job one time where the guy was on a roof, and he said to me, is the boss here? I said, no. So he went to take a nap. You know, when the boss came up the stairs, up the ladder, and, hey, hi, boss. Guy slid right off the roof. Woke up from his nap suddenly. You know, not with eye service, not when the boss is just watching. The Lord is watching. You are to do your job whether you think the boss is watching or not. And by the way, now with cameras, the boss is always watching. Besides that, I know people at work, every keystroke on their computer is recorded. Every message, every word they say to customers now is recorded, and the computer automatically kicks up the word, no, I can't, things like that, and then they get called in and someone checks that stuff. You're not to do the basic service when the boss is there. You are to do your best as a believer all the time. You are to do your best as a believer all the time. I was at one job, and they issued this statement. Please stop using your computers to surf the internet. We're getting viruses. And I asked my boss, I said, who's surfing the internet during, you know, when they're supposed to be doing something else? I'm so glad you don't know. In other words, I'm so glad you're not doing it. Not with eye service. Do your job. Show integrity. Show integrity. Do the job you were called to do. Third, he mentions here, not as men pleasers. Servants obey in all things, your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers. This is the concept that you merely do your job to get your boss to say, hey, I like you, or here's your check, without any care about doing your job, or without any care about doing a good job. In other words, you are to do a good job, not just put your time in. Okay, clock clicked, I'm done. You know, you are to do a good job. My grandfather used to say, if you can't show up to work on time and do an honest day's work, you're not worth keeping. Oh, he used to say that to me. Every time somebody was late, he used to say that to me. Now, I don't know why he would say it to me other than he's trying to get a point across. But you are to do your job, not as a man pleaser, not just for the boss or whatever, but for something greater. And then notice it says, but in singleness of heart, in singleness of heart. This literally is the Greek word which means to twine, tie with rope, or to weave. Singleness of heart, to tie together. That is the idea of integrity, to obey with a fixed heart on pleasing the Lord. This is who you're supposed to be. You are to do your best. You are to do your job with God in mind, in singleness of heart, with a single purpose, and then fearing God. Fearing God is the final statement. Standing in awe of God's authority, standing in awe of God's power, reverencing God so much that you're going to say, I'm doing it His way, regardless of my boss, regardless of what this is or that is, I'm doing my best for God. I'm doing my best for God. It is our objective as believers to be good employees for God's sake, and to do our part. Our work is actually worship to the Lord. Now, the second category here is masters. Masters. Give ear unto chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. And this is fairly straightforward and simple. Masters, supervisors, boss, you are to treat your workers in a just and fair manner. You are to treat them in a just and fair manner. The idea of justice, provide when it's within your power. I know some of you have scaled wages and you have no choice on that. But provide a fair wage for the services rendered. Do what's right. Don't try to rip them off. Do what's right. Second, equitable or equal. Treat people in a consistent, fair manner. If you're going to do this for one guy, you should be doing this for the next guy. Your goal is not to rip them off, not to take advantage of them, but to treat them with dignity and be fair. Ephesians 6:9 reveals it this way, and ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening. You know, stop threatening. Don't threaten them. That's not the way to get it worked out of them. Knowing that your master in heaven, you also have a master in heaven, neither is there respect to persons with him. There is no respect to persons with God. Whether you're one of His children or not, He expects you to do things a certain way and follow His standards. Now, why should I do this? Why should I obey the Scriptures in these things? Verse 24, let's go back to that. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. When you work, whether you're, you know, stacking shelves, driving a car, wiping noses, teaching a lesson, whatever you're doing, loading, unloading, you are to do it as if you're doing it for God, as if He's the boss. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. God does reward us for faithful service. God promises to reward our faithful service. Sometimes it's in this life and certainly in the next. 2 Corinthians reveals much of this in 2 Corinthians 5:9 and 1 Corinthians 9:19 and following, about how we have eternal rewards for just doing what God has called us to do. Second, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We do this out of a relationship. Relationships, not just for rewards, but we are serving Christ. This is a relationship. You do things because you love him. And then third, results. Verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You know, in 1 Peter 5, 12 through 16, the Bible is very clear. We should not suffer reproach or punishment as evildoers. You shouldn't be called into the boss's office because you didn't do your job. I remember when I was loading trucks in Iowa many years ago, the boss called me in, and he was a very big man, very big man. He was an Olympic weightlifter, so very big guy, and a very angry guy. And he was all upset, yelling at me, blaming me for breaking things. We had about 6 cigarette machines. Remember those old cigarette machines? Someone drove the forklifts through the front of them and loaded them on a truck and shipped them anyhow. And he goes, I know you Christians are against smoking. You must have done this. And I said, why would you say that? Because your number is on the manifest, meaning I moved it. And I said, I don't remember any cigarette machines. Furthermore, what truck did it come from? And he said, just go do your job. And he starts screaming this other person's name for them to come in. You know, if I had broken those machines, I would have been guilty and I would have been in trouble and I clearly would have been blamed. But I didn't. And regardless of how I feel about smoking, I didn't. And ultimately, it worked out that the person that damaged the machines, and primarily through carelessness, they got called in and were expected to explain themselves. You know, my friends, we are not to suffer for wrongdoing because we shouldn't be doing the wrongdoing. Yes, there's times things slip and break. Yes, there's times we drop stuff, but intentional wrongdoing, we shouldn't be doing that. We should try to focus. We should try to be careful. We should try to do our job. The reason why, there are rewards in the scriptures. There are relationships. Your relationship with Christ ought to be enough. And then the results. God promises blessings, and he promises that he will, that, you know, others will see this. Our character. Remember that God is righteous. God does not respect a person who perverts justice, who does wrong and expects to get away with it. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to do that which is right. There is no respect of persons. When a believer sins, they also get punished. When a believer lies, they get caught. When a believer steals, they get caught. The problem is they not only bring shame to their own name, they bring shame to the name of Christ. That is a big deal. So, work relations. We're expected as workers to do a good day's work, to do a good job. We're expected as employers to treat people in a just and fair way and ultimately treat them in a way that we'd want to be treated. You know, not degrading them, not abusing them, treating them with dignity. I've completed a study recently on being a leader. And what's interesting, one of the things I found is the number one thing that almost everybody agreed on, whether they were Muslim, Christian, Jewish, whether they were an educator, a minister, a business person, the one key aspect of being a leader they felt was the most important thing wasn't intelligence. It wasn't how much money the company made. It was their care for their employees. That was the number one thing that they felt was important. as people that are in charge of others, how do you show that care? How do you care for others? All these things in our lives are very important. Do your best in the time that you're working. Treat other people in an equitable fashion and give God the glory and watch him bless. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us as we're industrious. I pray that you'd bless us as we live for you. It is all too easy to be lazy. It is all too easy to justify taking a few things here and there as perks. It is all too easy to look the other way and just do our own thing. Help us to be honorable to you. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to treat others with the dignity that we expect, that you might receive the glory. In Christ's name, amen. At this time, Mario's